This is Just Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now. Seriously.
Review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
Hey, what's up? What's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Man, we got a special guest today. Actually, two. Filmmakers Andy Brown and Brian Lindstrom comes to the podcast to talk about their latest feature. It's called Lost Angel, The Genius of Judy Seal. Those who are asking, who's Judy Seal? I tell you what this is. Well, Lost Angel, The Genius of Judy Seal, opens in theaters, digital, and on demand, U.S. and Canada, April 12th, 2024. This is a never before told story of folk rock icon Judy Seal, who went in just 2 years went from living in her car to appearing on the cover of Rolling Stone. This documentary charts her troubled adolescence through her meteoric rise into the music world and early tragic death. It features interviews from Linda Ronstadt, Jackson Brown, David Crosby, Graham Nash, Fleet Foxes, David Getham, J.D. Salinger, Big Thief, Wayne's Blood, Tim Page, and many more. This is a good documentary. I got a chance to watch it. One of the best 90 minutes of something I didn't even know I need to know about. So I get a chance to chop it up with Andy Brown and Brian Lindstrom about this. You can just see it. I don't want to give too much away, but before we jump into this podcast, all things related to the podcast can be found at samshownation.com. Your home for everything related to Just Talk with Sam podcast. It's all right there at samshownation.com. And if you look right there on the homepage and current promotions page, there is a donate button. Yes, we've been doing this thing for roughly 14 years, and it's thanks to the good people like you who hit that donate button and gave whatever you gave. And I'm asking you, maybe you want to give, maybe you want to give again. However you want to do it, give whatever makes you feel like a good person. So please, go to SamShowNation.com, click that donate button, and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. But maybe you're a little different, you want a little bang for your buck, you can always go to SamShowNation.com and hit the SamShowNation store. By doing so, you can give whatever that you think you need to give right then and there. And whatever you buy, hats, shirts, you know, stickers, what have you, show the world that you really like this podcast. And I promise every little bit of the profit goes right back into making this podcast a bigger, better, greater podcast. Speaking of the podcast, you can always go to samshownation.com. You get the podcast link. You can listen to your favorite podcast right then and there. But maybe you listen to podcasts a little bit differently. We are wherever podcasts can be found, whether that be TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever podcasts can be found, Apple, Google, if they still got one, wherever. Just put in Just Talk with Sam podcast, no G in talking, Just Talk with Sam podcast. We're all right there, wherever podcasts can be found. Also, especially with this one, you can see the podcast if you go to our YouTube channel, Just Talk with Sam podcast. It's all right there. All of our interviews, for the most part, are right there on the page. You can actually see it, and you can see it as I talk to Brian and Andy about the film Los Angeles, the Genius of Julie Seal, showing up U.S. and Canada on April 12th. But before we jump into all of that, we got a few sponsors this week. The first sponsor is the good folks at Honey. Yes, Honey. You can go to samshownation.com. You can click that Honey link and save yourself some money by getting that Honey. What's Honey, you ask? Honey is an online search system that helps you with all your online purchases. So with over 500,000 retailers all over the web. So if you're doing some online shopping, you hit that Honey link, and then Honey searches the web for everything, every discount code, every free shipping code, everything you need. So save yourself some money by getting that Honey. Go to samshownation.com, click the Honey link, and by clicking that Honey link, you save yourself some money on all your online purchases. So save yourself some money by getting that Honey at samshownation.com. The next sponsor is the good folks at MLBShop.com. Yes, the baseball season is back in full swing. See what I did there? And you can rep all of your favorite teams right now. If you're like me and you're a Tigers fan, or you like, maybe you like the Cincinnati Reds, maybe you're a Dodgers fan, Yankees fan, maybe you like the Marlins, whoever your team is, they got you covered. You can welcome in this new season of baseball with getting all the swag of your favorite team. And if you act right now, you can go to samshownation.com and you can get free shipping on all U.S. orders over $24 by putting in the promo code 24FS at checkout. 24FS at checkout. Some exclusions may apply. So come on, let's welcome the baseball season by getting some free shipping on U.S. orders over $24 or more by putting in the promo code 24FS at checkout. And lastly, and certainly not leastly, it's Circle Week, people. Yes, the good folks at Target want you to indulge you in Circle Week. What Circle Week is, you can automatically save on thousands of deals just by being a Circle member. And you can, free Circle membership is available this week, and you can get on deals with the basic plan, get Circle 360. You can get whatever you need from your friendly neighborhood Target. Or maybe you don't even want to leave the house. You go to samshownation.com, you click that Target link, you shop right then and there from the good folks at, you guessed it, Target. You can shop here, you can pick it up later, you go to your friendly neighborhood Target, they got you covered. So please, jump on Circle Week, because it is what it is, and we're going to save you some money at Target. So save on thousands of ideas and deals. Summer's right around the corner. Target got your back. So please go to samshownation.com, click the link, the Target link, and join in the Circle Week. Hurry up. Circle Week ends on April 13th, 2024. Well, that's enough of me right now. What I'm about to do is reset these mics, have my buddies who's just waiting on me in the Zoom chat, and we're about to talk to Andy Brown and Brian Lindstrom about their new film, Los Angeles, The Genius of Judy Seal. Actually, if they don't mind waiting a little bit longer, we'll play a song from Judy Seal. So let's jump into that. I'm thinking The Kiss. That's one of her most favorite songs. So let's play The Kiss by Julie Seal. Then we will talk to Andy and Brian about their wonderful documentary.
Through the gray, enter. the ray silently swooping down, just to show me how to give my heart away. Once a crystal choir appeared while I was sleeping and called my name, and when they came down nearer, saying dying is done, then a new song was sung, until somewhere we breathe.
Are you in Detroit?
You better believe it.
He's a liar.
How did I know? No, okay.
All right, hey, before we jump to this podcast, I know we don't have a ton of time, but we do something called the over-the-top intro. I want to sing your praises before every podcast gets started. Is that okay with you guys?
Oh, Sam, sorry, we're losing you.
What about now? Can you hear me?
Good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was saying with this podcast, I don't know if you guys know, this is one of the things we like doing is called the over-the-top introduction. And what we like to do is sing your praises before we jump right into this podcast. If that's okay with you guys, let me button your bread a little bit. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
All right, well, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, my next guests are award-winning actor, producer, directors, and what is a self-proclaimed ice cream enthusiast? If we have time, we'll find out what that means. We are here to talk about Los Angel, the genius of Judy Seal, in theaters and on Amazon and Apple TV, April 12th. They both take you on a 90-minute journey to unearth one of musical's greatest underrated geniuses. and they both highlight a reverberating effect that Judy Steele still has on the music industry today. Andy Brown, Brian Lestrom, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sam. That was great. Brian, what ice cream is your favorite flavor?
Chocolate chip, and I'm old school, and it's hard to find now.
I just want to keep this short. I'm a mint chocolate chip guy. Always the weird guy, but man, it tastes good. Granted, it does taste like toothpaste, but it's so good. But let's get into it, guys. Yeah, I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. How did you discover Judy's music?
It was it started with an interview I read from Andy Partridge of XTC, and he had mentioned her influence on him. This was around 2000, and I downloaded from Napster some bootlegs. Her albums had then got re-released. They were out of print for many, many years, a couple years later. And then YouTube started, and a video of her performing The Kiss on Old Grey Whistle Test appeared, and it really just slayed me. And I showed it to Brian a year or so later. And then, Brian, do you want to take over?
Yeah, and then it was the last day of a sound mix on a documentary I was making, and I went to pick up my friends because my friend Michael Howells had babysat them, my kids. My friend Michael Howells had babysat them that day. And he said, hey, why don't you make a film about Judy Sill? And I thought about it. And then Andy and I started to kick around the idea. And the first thing we needed to do was to make sure that no one else was already making it or had made one. And turns out no one had. And we just kind of went for it. And there was a great booklet made for the release of her posthumous album, Dreams Come True, by Pat Rokes and Pat Thomas, a booklet. And that booklet basically became a kind of template for people for us to interview. And in December of 2013, we went to LA and interviewed a lot of those folks. And just kind of that started the process.
Took 10 years, Sam.
Wow.
Yeah. Not nonstop, but I mean, it did take that long.
Now, I'm very curious, like, how do you tell the full story of Judy with not a lot of ton of footage? This is new territory for me, but so how do you tell this story? And I'm sure it's a lot of me's out there.
That was the puzzle we had to solve because of that fact that there was very little archival material and we didn't add all that much to it, but we were able to get her journals and drawings and about 4 years into this. And that allowed us to that, as well as the fact that we found an audio cassette of an hour-long interview she gave in her own voice telling her life story. So her voiceover largely is in the film is largely her from up to 1972. And then we have a voiceover actress being Judy from 73 to 79 when Judy died based on the journal entries that we had gotten. So we were able to have Judy tell her own story, which is what our goal was all along. But we needed to be able to find the archive in a way to allow us to do that. Thankfully, we did. The animation in the film is based on her drawing style from her journals. So we created animation based on Judy's own drawings. And then the soundtrack is the stems, the multi-tracks from her second album. So Judy is, in fact, scoring the movie as well. So that was sort of our goal. Was to have Judy as if Judy were making the film to some degree. And we, as much as possible, wanted to make a film that Judy herself would have liked. And I think we'd like to think she would have liked it, but sadly we don't know. But I think she'd be tickled enormously.
One thing about this, with the use of animation and sound over and her scoring her own story, how was it to stay true and keeping her legacy alive? Because if you read the Wikipedia stuff, she seemed dark and gloomy. However, when you listen to the interviews, she was like the light of the party. So how was that meeting of those two worlds?
Great point.
That is a great point. You know, when we first interviewed people about Judy in 2013, her dear friends, they all said just what a light Judy was. you know, that she was a person who lit up any room she was in. She was fun to be with. She was a dear friend and very loving, you know, that
the funniest person they knew.
Yeah. And they could all tell stories about, like, you know, she loved to give people gifts and she always wanted to celebrate their birthdays and holidays together. And, you know, she was a very loving person. And this was like completely antithesis to what you'd read in Wikipedia, you know. So we were really determined to kind of make a film that honored who Judy was and in her own words, like, let the audience understand, you know, the fullness of her character.
But there was, of course, a dark, tragic aspect to that she was brutally honest about.
Yep.
So she contained both those sides. But if you're right, if you just read the Wikipedia, she's the female Nick Drake. She's this dark figure, and no, none of her friends agreed with that characterization of her at all.
I love that reference, the Nick Drake reference. But yeah, it's like going into that. And there's a lot in this 90 minutes that you put in there, but going through her journals and going through her story, what would you say was like the toughest scene to shoot in a documentary?
You mean toughest emotionally or just to get right in terms of her story, or
both?
What do you mean?
Both.
I would say maybe handling her death. You know, how to communicate that, where it should be in the film, you know, all those things. You know, how deeply do we want to go into the suicide, not suicide aspect of it? You know, back in those days, no one thought of addiction as a disease. And, you know, if you died of a drug overdose, they just stamped suicide on the death report. You know, we really wanted to get that right. But also the opening of the film was a real challenge for us too. You know, I think we probably tried every possible opening, you know, I can't think of an idea we had that we didn't try. You know, we really wanted to make sure that things were where they needed to be.
Okay.
The process of making the film was very collaborative. So we tried everything. And you really, if you're going to collaborate with somebody, you really need to respect each other's ideas, because even if you don't think something is a good suggestion, I was proven wrong so many times because we tried it. It was like, oh yeah, that does work. And I think that, you know, is partly why it took a long time as well to make the film, is that we tried everything, you know, each other's suggestions. That includes our executive producer, Peter Kenny, his suggestions, and absolutely includes our editor, Michael Ward, who... Sure. The three of us, having a threesome in a way, created a 2-to-1 vote that sped things up and made things efficient in a certain way, too. So,
well, throughout this documentary, you guys had a who's who of the music industry. Let's just put it like that. And it's going to take me way too much time to name all the people who were in here. I'm curious, who was the easiest and who was the hardest to interview?
Nobody was that hard, really. Everyone was grateful and happy to do it, right? I mean,
there was a real sense of mission, of like people wanting to do their part in helping kind of right what they perceived as a wrong, which is that Judy in her lifetime, you know, her music never kind of reached the audience that they felt it so deserved.
And that includes David Geffen.
Absolutely.
Who objected to the Wikipedia version of his role in what happened to Judy. And he wanted to set the record straight about that.
Sure. Okay. Now, I know I'm up against it, so I only got a few more questions left, guys.
Sure.
You guys had a 90-minute documentary highlighting one of the geniuses or lost geniuses of what changed my view on how music was at that time. What was left on the cutting room floor? I can only imagine there were some things that was left out of this documentary that you wanted to put in, or something you feel that you could have elaborated a little bit more about.
Yeah, one thing that I wish we had time for is there's a wonderful guy named Bill Bodicher, who was a classmate of Judy's at LA Valley College and in the music department there. And he was the one who recorded Judy's first known recording, which is Poor Tender Maiden's Lament. which is in the film. But what's not in the film is that that film won a songwriting contest.
And the song won. The song won a songwriting contest.
Yeah. The college's songwriting contest, and it really meant a lot to Judy and kind of gave her a lot of momentum. But we just couldn't make it fit in the film. And so, you know, we felt it was more important that the song is in the film, but the whole story isn't, you know.
Right. But she was 19 years old. It was the first song that she had written, and she entered a contest with it, and she won the contest. So that 5 years later, when she was kicking heroin in the jail of LA and decided that if she could do that, she could become a singer-songwriter. Mm. It started with that song that she wrote. And then 4 years later, she was on the cover of Rolling Stone, 4 years after kicking heroin in prison and deciding to become a singer-songwriter. So it was pretty meteoric after that point. But the talent was there.
Well, I got one more before we, because I'm up against it.
Sure.
Guys, what do you want the audience to take from this film?
That Judy's music was meant to heal people, and that despite the struggles she went through, she would be just so delighted to know that people are listening to her music now and that it is offering healing, its healing powers that she intended as part of her mission are working for people. And we hope that the movie, that our film spreads that music to a wider audience.
And then I would just piggyback on that by saying, you know, I think Judy Sill was a superstar, whatever word you want to use. And just because maybe she didn't reach the audience numbers that other people did, the way that her music transforms people is just really meaningful and rare. And it's made me kind of reevaluate what kind of litmus test we use to determine if someone in the industry made it or not. You know what I mean? Like you can't listen to The Kiss and think that this is anything other than someone who completely scaled, you know, the heights of artistic expression.
Well, guys, I know, we had time. I wish I had more, but you got Andy, Brian, you are welcome back anytime. This was an excellent documentary. Thank you for just chopping it up with us for a second. And I wish you guys much success, and you're welcome back to the podcast whenever you want.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Sam. Thanks. Go Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Lions.
All right.
Sweet silver angels over the sea, please come down, fly and low for me. One time I trusted a stranger because I heard his sweet song, and it was gently enticing me, though there was something wrong. But when I turned, he was gone, blinding me. His song remains reminding me he. Maker, sweet silver angels over the sea, please come down, fly and blow for me. He wages war with the devil, a pistol by his side, though he chases him out windows and won't give him a place to hide. He keeps his door open wide, fighting. I hear the thunder come rumbling, the light never looks so dim. I see the junction get nearer, and danger is in the wind. And either road's looking grim. Hiding me, I flee, desire dividing me. He's a bandit and a heartbreaker. Oh, but Jesus was a cross maker. Cross. One time I trusted a stranger, cause I heard his sweet song, and it was gently enticing me, though there was something wrong. But when I turned, he was gone, blinding me, his song remains.
There you have it. That was the song "Jesus Was a Crossmaker" by Judy Seal. And right before that, we had a great interview with Brian Lindstrom and Andy Brown. Totally talking about the new documentary "Lost Angel: The Genius of Judy Seal," releasing in theaters and on demand, streaming everywhere, April 12, 2024. So. That's what I got for right now. Also, we'll play one more song by Judy Seal. I think I got one more in me. I don't think they'd mind if I play Ridge Rider, mainly because of the documentary. I'm not spoiling some, but it was a big thing in the documentary. And you can see it for yourself when you get this documentary on April 12th. So, that's enough for me for right now. What I am going to do, if you're in the podcast mood still, I need to talk about some great podcasts that you need to know about. The first is My Worst Holiday, my man Mark on the Mosaic Network. Please check him out. Good friend of the podcast, good show in general, great storytelling podcast. I think you would dig it. So please check out My Worst Holiday, on the Mosaic Network. And lastly, and certainly not leastly, my boys, the Act Accordingly podcast with Bash and Z. Check them out. If you're in the mood of podcasts, you need to check them out wherever podcasts can be found. It's called Act Accordingly with Bash and Z. You can hear Bash, Z, the great, yes, the great DJ M80. And if you're lucky, you may get my man AJ. So check them out. Those are my peoples. So that's all I got. Everything related to this podcast, Just Talk with Sam, can be found at samshownation.com. Your home for everything related to the podcast can be found at samshownation.com. And by doing so, you can check us out not just there, but on our socials. On Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter, is known as X now. I am at samshow11. You can always email the show too. I don't want to forget that. You can email the show at justtalkwithsamnogntalking@gmail.com. Just Talk with Sam, No G and Talking on Facebook and IG. And as always, you can watch all of our interviews right there on our YouTube channel at Just Talk with Sam, No G and Talking podcast. Just Talk with Sam podcast on YouTube. So that's enough of me for right now. Once again, I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Brian Lindstrom, Andy Brown, for just dropping by, talking about Los Angeles, the Genius of Judy Seal. And that is going to be released on April 12th. Judy Seal, we're gonna play it out with one of the because of the documentary, you gotta see it. One of the controversial songs about it is called Ridge Rider, and I will see you guys next week. Peace out.
He rides the ridge between dark and light, without partners or friends. He's courageous enough to be scared, but he's too humble to win. Blair. rider, for if he's riding is my thing. I guess the rich rider forgets he's traveling with a friend. He comes from under the cryptosphere, where the great sadness begins. And he doesn't pretend to be brave, though the road's dusty and dim. Bless the Ridge Rider, riding is my thing. I guess the Ridge Rider forgets he's traveling with a friend. Since the great fall, he's been traveling hard, thinking bondage is sin, hoping someday the path will turn gold and the weight will turn into wind. Bless the Ridge Rider, the Ridge Riding is my thing.